The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
She's tapping. It is all over. It's a new UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion. My God.
I thought I had to be like a pit bull on a bone. I couldn't let go of it. She wasn't getting out of that one.
Misha Cupcake Tang.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have country singer Brantley Gilbert, who's a very, very big UFC fan, and he's got a lot of friends in the UFC. Now, we also have someone who I like very much and haven't talked to in years, the return of Misha Tate. Misha is fighting. I know it's she's fighting Marion Renault and July the 17th on UFC Fight Night 192. They're still determining the location, but it's nice to have Misha back. So we'll talk to her for a little while today. And I know she's had kids since she left, and her life has changed quite a bit. So I'm kind of curious as to what motivates you to come back after 5 years, considering a couple of years ago she said she didn't really feel like she was missing anything. So it's interesting to see what changed.
You know, I mean, how long has she been away for?
Years, 2016. Yeah, I don't remember the month, but around 4.5 years.
How old is her child? Is it because she was having a child? Is the kid like 4 years old now or something?
It's a good question. I don't know, Matt.
So maybe the kid's running around a little bit.
Yep.
You know, you went through the crawling stages. Now he's got a little, or she, I think he has a boy. She has a boy. I'm not sure though. But, you know, now it's maybe like, all right, time for mommy to go back to work. You know, and she does work. She's like, listen, she is like a pioneer. She is a pioneer. I shouldn't say like a pioneer. I mean, it was her, Ronda Rousey, her trilogy fight with Ronda Rousey, her stint with Ronda Rousey on The Ultimate Fighter. You don't think that got a lot of views, Jimmy?
That's right.
Damn right it did. That's Brantley, Brantley Gilbert is ready to go right now. He's a music. He's a musician. He's a country star. What?
Yes, he is.
Let's put that all together. He's a country music star.
Yes, he is.
Let's talk to Brantley Gilbert.
Let's bring him in. There he is.
What's going on, guys? We made it happen.
Hey, Brantley, how you doing?
Nice to meet you, Brantley.
I'll be
doing awesome. How y'all doing?
I thought you were in the gym for a second.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you?
That's where I need to be, my friend. That's where I should be.
You look powerful. You look like I feel like, yeah, I'm watching Vikings. You look like straight out of, you ever watch Vikings?
Brantley?
Yeah. I love that show.
That's a great show. I mean, I know you're doing your thing and you made it in the music world, but
yeah,
you could have been an extra on that show. Look at you. You're powerful.
Wait, is that that's your house with the bar in the back and that's like your hang?
Yeah, this is the dog house, man. This is one of our COVID projects. So like me and all my band guys and my crew guys got together and it's about 7,500 square foot. The bus is in here. My motorcycles are in here and it's our hang, man. I got a bar. I had to quit drinking a little less than 10 years ago.
Okay.
I'm allergic to alcohol, man. I break out in handcuffs.
Yeah, me too. I understand it.
Yeah, so I got a bar that everybody else drinks at. But it's a good time, man. It really is a good hang for all of us.
Now, did you, when you quit drinking, did you go into like, you know, I didn't, and I started drinking a lot of caffeine, which I haven't stopped drinking since, you know, for many years. What did you do when you quit drinking? Did you switch to anything else or another food or another drink? What did you jump to?
Man, at first I was pounding cigarettes. But you know, and I still, I'm cutting back on my smoking, man. I got to get that out of the process. I have cut way back, especially since my kid's been born. I got a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. They're the world to me.
Beautiful.
So I've cut down a little bit since then. But, man, more than anything, they had me on a medication that, like, I ate and ate and ate, and it made me hold water. So I got, like, huge after I quit drinking.
Oh, you fattened up a little bit, yeah. Well, you can always lose it.
Jimmy.
Yeah. No, it happens. It happens. When I quit smoking, I got fat. Like smoking was even harder than drinking because it's like 20 fixes or 30 fixes a day you're getting. And when I quit smoking, what a fucking fatso I ate. Like I probably put on 20 pounds when I quit smoking. But again, it comes off. So it's worth it. When you quit, you'll probably put a few on. It's all right.
For sure, man. Hey, so speaking of being in the gym, we have a mutual friend and he's kind of one of these guys, man. He's salt of the earth. I think the world of him, but he holds me accountable on shit. And he wanted me to ask you when you're coming back to the gym, Jim.
Tell him I will be back very soon. I've just been kind of I haven't even gone into a comedy club in a year. So I'm not paranoid, but I'm just waiting until the vaccines have like a month or two or three behind them. And then I'll get vaccinated and get back to life. But yeah, I miss it a lot, man. I loved working out with Jimmy, and he's why Jimmy's a great instructor, because you're doing it and he actually makes you feel like, wow, you're impressing him. Like there's nothing I'm gonna do that's gonna impress Jimmy, but he's such a good teacher that he's like, yeah, good, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm really, so Jimmy makes you feel good about yourself. He's great, man. He's a great instructor.
I think the world of Jimmy, man. He was talking about you and Matt both. I told him, I was like, man, I don't know what's happening with the Zoom call, but it's I don't know if it's a problem on my end or theirs, but I hope it don't mess up for too long. Matt Sarah might try to drive him through the parking lot like he did St. Pierre.
Oh shit! Well, like Jimmy often brings up, you know, don't watch the rematch. We don't like to watch the rematch. But listen, we had a good time in Texas, didn't we? You sure did, Brantley. Hey, I'm hearing that Jimmy Rivera loves your music, that it resonates with fighters. I don't want to say I'm not a country guy, because I like to have a, you know, I don't like to limit myself to a certain type of music. I got like some Johnny Cash and stuff, but I might have to start listening now because Jimmy knows his shit.
Jimmy does know his shit.
It resonates with fighters.
Man, you know, it's, we got a few songs. Like I got a song called Take It Outside. And I wrote it a few years back, kind of when I was still drinking. I had this side of me, man, that, well, I know it does it for a lot of people. You know, it's like liquid courage thing. I'd get a couple inches in several places. you know what I mean? And I start feeling like maybe I'm supposed to be a fighter. Which we all know is not the case. It's like I told Jimmy, he's like, man, I've been in a bunch of barroom brawls because, you know, And wrote songs about it. I try not to write anything, you know, write songs about things that I don't know about. But, you know, unfortunately, that was part of my job coming up. You know, a lot of the hole in the wall bars we played, a lot of venues we played, man, were rough joints. And you kind of had to get not as good as you guys with your hands, but you at least had to be good enough to keep your equipment from getting torn up every night. So.
Well, say that scene in the Blues Brothers. Did you ever play places like that in the Blues Brothers when they're playing that country western place? And everybody's like throwing bottles at the chicken wire. Like those bars are known for, if they don't like you, they'll let you know they don't like you.
Oh, hell yeah. Real quick. Man, we played a BFW one night. And this is a true story. A guy pulled inside the BFW with a Harley Davidson, concrete floor, did a burnout, smoked the whole bar out, and then drove out.
Now, was that because he liked you guys or didn't enjoy you? Or did he not even listen?
I don't know who he liked or didn't like at that point. I know a fight started after that, and it was not a good one. But yeah, I think he was just having a good time, man. I think Hughes just decided, like, I'm going to do a burnout in the bar tonight.
People watching were probably like, wow, this is probably part of the show. They probably thought it was like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, this is, wow, I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah, like when Rob Halford comes on stage for Judas Priest, he'll drive a motorcycle on stage. They probably thought the guy was with you.
Hell, he might have been. I ain't really sure. Like I said, that was when I was drinking. So hell, he might have been with.
So now, have you been training for how long? Do you train at all, or is it just casual, or are you actually something you do regularly?
Yeah, it's casual, man, at best right now. You know, with everything going on, I'm a workaholic. I kind of grind, and I get sometimes too focused. But I was working with Jimmy for a while, and Frank, Jimmy's guy, and they had me getting on my way to being back in shape. And it's that thing where, you know, if you miss a week,
yeah,
I'm one of those guys. If I miss a week, it takes me forever to get back in. So I'm casually kind of moving back into it. Got some back stuff worked out, and I'm ready to start hammering down again. But yeah, Jimmy and Frank have both sent me kind of, I guess, the nudge that they've sent you, like, hey man, how you been? Are you fat yet?
No, he can look at me and know I'm fat. Jimmy knows I put weight on too. Like, he can see it. Like, it's pretty obvious when you look at me that I packed a few on. So yeah, I miss it, man. I really miss going in there. I would do some privates and some classes, and I like the classes too. Like, cause no one's a dick in the gym. I've noticed that, like, none of those guys are dicks. No one's trying to make you look bad or prove anything. Everybody seems to be pretty encouraging to people who are further down the ladder than they are.
Yeah, man, that's important too. I remember, like, nowadays the gyms you go to most of the time, like, they're kind of quiet and all that. So Jimmy and I were having this conversation the other day. Like, the kind of gym I enjoy being at, the one where there's like death metal playing and,
yeah,
you know, just a meathead gym. People are throwing around stuff. And you can't find those hardly at all anymore, at least where I live. So we need to start us one of those here in Georgia.
Guys working out in jean shorts and construction boots. Like, yeah, I know the type of place. Yeah, it's like all the walls are black. Yeah. I go to a place where all the walls are painted black. Yeah, those are great.
That's awesome. Everybody's screaming at each other. I love that shit.
Did you watch the fights last weekend? Did you watch Francis Ngannou versus Stipe Miocic?
I did, man. Dude, I got to say, like, I'm a Stipe fan. Mm-hmm. And I saw y'all show where y'all were giving him hell about singing a little bit. We'll let you slide on that. But I am a Stipe fan. But, man, Ngannou just looked like a whole nother fighter. Like, the sprawl and kind of doing a little groundwork was absolutely terrifying.
Isn't that when you knew Stipe was in a little trouble when he went for the takedown and Francis, like, sprawled and really kind of pushed him back up? You're like, especially in a smaller octagon, you're like, this is going to be a tough night.
And look, for a minute, like, he was going to take his back. Like, he kind of worked towards his back. Yeah. That was scary. I was like, yeah, oh shit.
I would like to ask Francis how, like, because Stipe at one point hit him with a counter, like, you know?
That right, that, yeah.
Which in hindsight, you know, it's 2020, but maybe he shouldn't have. Maybe obviously he should have had more space, but he stopped and he hit him with a shot that was similar to when he knocked out Verdum. It's like a counter almost going backwards. And then it was just, he was just there too long. But I wonder if Francis, I would like to ask him, did you feel that shot at all? Did you fucking? Yeah. I would have liked it because it didn't, like, there's no indication of him feeling it, but you know what I mean?
For sure.
You don't hit light, you know? So I don't know. That's just something that.
It looked like he felt it because it did give him like a minute, like he was like, all right. But I think it pissed him off enough where that last shot was just cold, man.
Yeah, but we talked about that on Monday too, where guys like Sean O'Malley, who we love, but he's trying to get like the home run walk-off knockout, whereas Francis doesn't take that ever. Like, he literally, you have to pull Francis off against Alistair Overeem. He did it against, I want to say Blades and JDS too, but definitely against Stipe. They have to pull him off. Like, he is making sure to finish the fight as soon as possible, which I I respect. I think that's the best way to do it.
Oh, for sure, man. Till Herb jumps on you and pulls you off, just keep going. But then you have the one, who was it? There was somebody that did like just lay completely out.
Henderson Bisping.
Yes. That was a little much.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
I'm a Henderson fan, but that was like, oh, holy shit, bro.
Yeah. They didn't like each other. I think they already, because they still once in a while will go back. Like you'll hear, like, you know, when Bisping's announcing, Henderson will tweet something. Like they still don't like each other. So there might have been bad blood there before. But yeah, that always scares me when I see a guy get hit when he's that vulnerable. Because like that could really, really hurt a guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Shows you what kind of badass Bisping is, man. Come back from that and beat Dan Henderson, you know, and he did that with one eye. You know what I mean? He did that with one eye, you know, and he beat him in a tough fight. And even the comeback in the way he beat Luke Rockhold to get the belt, because he lost to Luke also in bad fashion. And you know what I mean? Right. He was overseas in Australia, and then he came back and he beat him. So talk about overcoming adversity, Michael Bisping. That guy's a fucking stud. Not only that, I found out he's in my new favorite show, Warrior, that I'm watching on fucking, oh my God. I found out, guys, I don't know if you heard about the show Warrior, Brantley, but let me tell you something. That actually, like, the original concept was actually from Bruce Lee himself. His daughter, Shannon Lee, is involved with it. And she said she had old writings from the father about this and that. Jimmy, you
know. Is she, though? I don't know.
He's skeptical. It's such a good movie. Well, it's
is that just a genius marketing thing? Or it's not my idea. It's my dad's. I don't know.
It's the funny because I saw a behind the scenes thing, and she's reading about the notes, and she's like, "Look, he wrote even here about this Chinese discrimination, and that's what's in the show." So I don't know. Maybe it's loosely. Maybe it's a loosely based. Don't mean shit though. It's a great show.
Okay.
So whether that's anything to do with Bruce Lee or not, it's so great. About San Francisco in like 1878 in Chinatown. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I'm turning you guys on to something good.
I've checked that out, man. He's been doing the acting thing, right? And Cerrone did, Cerrone was in that, the Marky Mark movie. What was that? Spencer Confidential.
Was he really? I didn't know Cowboy did the acting.
Yeah, he was in that. He was in a scene. It was like him and Post Malone, like, tried to beat up Mark in prison. And,
that's right.
He somehow got the hand on Cowboy Cerrone. No, ran on Cowboy Cerrone in a prison fight. I was trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, that's Hollywood.
I think he's fighting. He's fighting Diego Sanchez, I think, sometime soon.
And Brantley, what do you think too? Because you're like a legit fan of the sport. We've been talking too about the possibility of Jones fighting Francis. Again, I would love to see that, but I would just as much like to see a Lewis rematch. Either of those fights, I'm okay with. Like, whatever fight, Jones is a bigger fight because, you know, it's his first heavyweight fight and he's John Jones. But what do you think about the possibility of that? And is that the fight you would want?
Man, I tell you, I'm interested. I think the John Jones fight is intriguing, right? I want to see how he works in heavyweight, but I want to see how he works against, I mean, this guy, no disrespect intended, he's a freaking nature, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of size and that kind of power, you know, I mean, I would be interested to see how John Jones approached that fight. But the Lewis fight, man, to me, has the potential to turn out like one of those old Mark Hunt battles, man, where they're just freaking tanking each other. And I personally, selfishly love those, man. Yeah, just the good ones. The freaking throw down in the middle and go at it. So, I mean, it feels like it has that potential.
Like the Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. Oh, I love it. Not the same thing. No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's a different.
Okay, that was a grappling fest. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. It actually is the exact opposite of what you're
doing. Yeah, terrible, terrible comparison.
I love that fight.
Like Ben Askren and Jake Paul, maybe. We'll see. We don't know.
Oh, my God. Right.
I'm watching that. Team Askren.
I am too. I think Ben should be, and people think I'm crazy. Everyone's like, oh, Askren. I think Askren should win in the first round, considering the fact that he's dealt with Robbie Lawler and he's fought guys who punch you in the face for a living and he's been hit by professional fighters. He should be able to take him, even in a boxing match, in the first round, I think.
But what's your thoughts, Brantley?
Man, I'll tell you, the Askren thing, I've met some guys that know him and say he's a real cool cat. But
yeah,
I am a Robbie Lawler fan. And the way the Lawler fight went down, like, I know there's a lot of gray area at the end of these things. And I'd hate to be the guy that calls whether or not something's a tap or whether but he right. looked fine to me. And then when Ben Askren got on the mic and he asked Dana White, is this the best you can do? I was like, that dude's a legend, man. Like, maybe you got lucky a little bit, felt like you got lucky at the end, but I just felt like that was disrespectful. And I'm a Lawler fan. So I was like, when Masvidal called him, I was kind of like,
happy.
I was stoked. I'm not going to shit you at all. Like, I was like,
yeah. But you are happy.
But this one is kind of one of those things where, I mean, I think this is the first time we're really going to see whether this kid is all talk or whether he's actually going to bring something of substance. Because this isn't, you know, athletes are athletes, right? And you know, the Robinson thing was one thing. And I can't remember if that was him or his brother. But, I mean, he's about to fight a real fighter. So,
yeah, a guy who's had to avoid real punches from guys that really know how to fight stand up. I mean, Askren didn't just go in there and wrestle. I mean, he had to fight guys who had real stand up, legit professional athlete level stand up. So yeah, it will be kind of. But I typically don't care about the like Anderson Silva is going to fight is a Julio Cesar Chavez, I think, in a boxing match. And like, I mean, I would watch it if it was on, but I don't have a tremendous interest in the crossover. I'd rather see a boxer fight MMA and losing, you know, within inside of 3 minutes. But but the Askren fight, I'm going to watch. That fucking Jake Paul's a good marketer, and I'm going to actually watch that fight.
Now, he's a good marketer, but exactly the reason that Brantley's talking about why he was so happy when Jorge landed that knee, that's exactly the reason why you got that post-fight speech from Askren, if you ask me. Because first of all, I get it. I like that you got your boys back. You're like, how disrespectful. But believe me, that dude is on that mic, not just looking, not to disrespect anybody, but he was playing the heel, which he does amazing. And is that the best you got? That was between him and Dana to try to get him to that title. And that was his first fight in there after being rumored about, could he ever hang with the UFC guys for years? So that was a little thing between him and Dana. And I'm not even sticking up. Well, I guess I am sticking up for the guy. But Dan, do you guys remember the show Leave It to Beaver? It's really old. It might be before.
Of course I do. Unfortunately, yeah, yes, I do.
It's really old. But there was that best friend called Eddie Haskell. Yeah. He knows how he was like very charming to the parents, but he's a real fucking, he could be a real dick behind the scenes. He reminds me of that. He's very like condescending, but with a smile on his face. I like Ben Askren. I don't know what it is, but I do disagree. I agree with you as far as he's going to win, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But I don't think, but I 100% don't feel in the first round.
Maybe second round. Maybe the first round he makes. Again, maybe, but I don't think further down. Either,
because this kid's a young athletic kid that has some boxing experience from just sparring and whatnot. He's got some good feints. He doesn't. He's looking like a young, powerful kid. I feel Askren is going to use the dirty boxing, work his way in, look to clinch a lot, 1-2, 1-2 into the clinch, and not take him down, but get separated a lot, get him tired, and take him out in the later rounds. That's what I feel.
Drag him into deep water. You know,
you might, man, maybe.
One thing I feel like that the kid does have going in for him, though, is like, at the end of the day, there's nothing really to lose, right, from the Paul side of things. Because it's right. Like, you're a YouTube guy. If you lose to a real fighter, you know, you're kind of supposed to. On Ben's side, there's a little bit of added pressure because he's supposed to, and by all means should, like, manhandle dude and be able to work his way around him. And, you know, it would surprise me if that wasn't the way it went. But, again, man, I'm a fan. I'm not a guy who's ever stood in an octagon or a ring and duked it out with somebody. So that's one of those things where, I mean, I'm speaking as a fan. I know absolutely nothing about being in the spotlight fighting somebody. And I think, in my opinion, man, one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of the sport is it's like the ultimate form of competition, right? These are two grown men or two grown women going in there, and it's hammered down, the most ancient, you know, sport. But there's nothing more rewarding than winning, you know, a freaking hand-to-hand combat battle in front of people. Yeah. There's nothing worse than losing. you know, and you don't want to get knocked out. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to see the other guy's hand raised. So to me, you know, not only that these guys and girls are in just incredible shape and that they're amazing and talented at what they do, but just the freaking pressure behind it, man, it's just impressive to me that, you know, that somebody can do that for a living, step into a ring with all his eyes on them and go to work like that. So it's fun.
Now, Brantley, before we should plug what you're doing too. We have Misha coming on in just a moment. But man, it was fun talking to you. Like, we'd love to have you back on and talk more fights, man. And by the way, you know what I'd like to see? Let's see Jake Paul fight Jason Ellis. We should have fucking, because Jason Ellis is a psychopath, and that would be a fucking great fight. Jason Ellis would literally fight a freight train. So I would love to see that. You have a great new single called Hard Days. It's out now. I was watching it. You have a tremendous voice, very unique. Really great. And on Saturday, April the 17th, you're going to host 500 fans in Huntsville, Tennessee. Now, it's a trail ride benefiting ACM Lifting Lives. Is that American country music?
It is.
Okay. It's the philanthropic arm of the American country music. There was a terribly written plug by our guy. With ticket sales are going directly to their COVID-19 response fund. Now, it supports those in the entertainment industry who have lost income due to the pandemic because so many people can't work. And that is a great cause. Only 500 fans are going to do this. So tickets, if there's any tickets left, it's going to be on Saturday, April the 17th. Where can they find tickets if there's any left, Brantley?
BrantleyGilbert.com. And, man, we are pushing to get a few more opened. You know, we have all the COVID guidelines, and we're trying to play by the rules. But we're trying to open up some more tickets. So we can tell folks to keep checking back and hopefully sure. We can open up a few more.
Maybe. And plus sometimes people drop out last minute and then tickets that were sold all of a sudden come back. Or a few VIP tickets get whatever it is. So just keep checking back. It's for April 17th and it's for a great, great cause. So thanks for coming on, man. We'd love to have you back. It was really, really fun talking for a little while.
For sure, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you again.
All right, brother. See you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I like the family pillow. I like that.
That is what that is, okay. Right?
I have that too. You can make those with anything. I have like one of my wife. It's nothing weird, but just my wife, like this. And then there's one like with me when I had the belt. I'm like this. We got pillows. You can make any kind of pillows now.
Blankets too. I don't have any blankets, but that's on my agenda.
Pillows, that's really nice. Family. Yeah. That's
Jimmy has little Ozzy Osbourne blankets.
No, I have a pillow with women that I want to date who won't date me. That's what my pillow is. So, Misha, it's been a long time since we've spoken. What you're coming back and you're fighting now, obviously. What happened that made you want to do it? Like, or what sparked this decision?
I really think it was inspired by the pandemic. I think the forced slowdown just made me reevaluate the most important things in life. And I kind of narrowed it down to three things, you know, family/friends, right? Time and your dreams. Like, what do you want to accomplish? Those are very important. And when I really started to sit down and look at everything that I had and what I wanted to accomplish, like, it just became very clear to me that I wanted to fight again. And, you know, having the gym shut down where I couldn't train at all, it was the timing too, that like that was, this was my second child and I had him in June. And that's kind of when I knew like, that's, I'm done having kids. I have my beautiful family, a lot to be grateful for, but now like, what more do I want? What else? You know, I don't think I have a stop. I don't have a stopping point. I always want more.
Boy, girl, what do you have? Two girls?
I have a girl. I have a daughter who's 2.5 and a son who's going to be 1 in June. Both will be, she'll be 3 in June and he'll be 1.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you wanted? Just 2 kids? Is that, listen, you have your boy, you have your girl.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know I wanted kids for the longest time. So I think now like of just this blessing has been bestowed on me and now I'm a mom of 2 and I'm like, I'm so content with that. They're 2 beautiful, wonderful children that complete my life in a way that I don't think I could have even really, really comprehended before having kids. So I'm good. 1 boy, 1 girl, 1 for each hand. That's good for me.
That's a good way of putting it though. As far as you didn't know it would complete you like that. You don't know until you have a kid. You really don't know. My wife was pregnant. I remember talking to the great Joe Rogan and he had a kid just before I had a kid. And he's like, oh, it's like a biological thing. The second the baby comes out, you love it. He's looking at a picture. My wife was pregnant. You know, I'm rubbing the belly and everything, but I did not know, Jimmy. I didn't know till my kid came out. Now, this is amazing. Now, you know what I mean? So, Jimmy, you don't know what you're missing. Don't worry about it.
No, I understand. And eventually, let's be honest, Misha, I'm 52. It's not happening. Nobody is interested in having kids with me, and I don't blame them. I kind of like being single and having my life. Do you, by the way, Misha, are you amazed in the last 5 years at how much further even women's MMA has the explosion of it? Because you were at the forefront of it in the UFC. And we were talking before about that. There was not just Ronda. I mean, it was you and there was some other Kat and some other women that I hope you do. You know, like how important you were for women's MMA. Do you feel that?
People tell me a lot. You know, I remember when I first started doing this sport, like looking back at it now, like I've thought about it so much that I didn't know I would have an impact like this. There's no way that I could have understood that. And so in hindsight, I mean, I look back and I say, I'm glad that I could do some great things for women's MMA, but I think women's MMA also has done great things for me and MMA in general has done. So it's a mutual, it's a mutual give and take. But yeah, I mean, the women's MMA scene has certainly grown. I would say it's exploded on the scene and I've missed it. So I'm excited to get back in there and just add a little bit more flavor.
What was the fight? Because I think it was the most tension I've ever felt before a fight. I think it was you and Ronda fighting. And were you guys the co-main on something where Jones was the main event?
Ronda and I were the co-main event when it was Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman, the one where Anderson leg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember the tension before that fight. It's probably the most excitement I've ever felt from any of the fights I've been to of two people walking into a cage was you two at that fight. So how do you feel coming back? Like, do you feel as confident? Do you feel as comfortable? Do you have any, I mean, what's it like after a few years not doing it?
I feel refreshed. I feel full. I feel happy. I feel like I'm in a really good place and I feel like I've learned a lot and I'm just mature too in my mindset. It's just different now. I feel like I see things in a different way. And I feel like when you do sport for so long, so I mean, I started wrestling at 15, right? And then, I started fighting at 19 and I didn't retire until I was at 30. So like your head is there's no time off, there's no off season. So just like you feel like your head is constantly so stuffed full of information. It's like, I feel like now I have the clarity. I've had so much time off. I've been able to just observe the sport and learn a lot that way. And now I just feel like I'm learning a lot quickly. So it feels good.
And you've said that you think there might be, like, your goal is obviously to get back to a title. I mean, you want to fight for a title. How do you see that happening? Obviously you fight Marion and who do you see? Do you see one more fight after that or 2 more fights after? What path do you see possibly happening if this fight goes the way you want it to go?
Well, there's only one thing I know for sure is that I have to come back and win July 17th. And I cannot take Marion Renault lightly. I think a lot of people are looking at her and really underestimating her, saying, oh, she lost her last 4, but Let me tell you, those four losses were very close. She only lost by decision. She's never been finished. And she's a spoiler. She's submitted Jessica Andrade, which is, I don't know if Jessica's been submitted other than that, but not that I can recall in the UFC. Also submitted Sarah McMahon, hurt her with the right hand. She's very good in all areas. And I know I have to really be focused and prepared for her first and foremost, because if that step doesn't happen, then a lot of the long-term goals I have, right, will have to take a much different path. But granted, I'm working hard and I feel very confident going into this fight. July 17th cannot come fast enough. And, I win that fight, then what I see, I don't know if it sounds crazy. I could see one more win and then a title fight. I could see that happening. I could see another win and then a title fight. So I guess I would say between 2 and 3, but again, it depends on performances. I think it depends on opponents. There's a lot that can factor in and change those kind of, the roadmap to those goals. But first and foremost, July 17th, that has to happen.
Speaking of performances, I want to talk about that amazing night when you won the title versus Holly Holm. And I want to specifically, if you could remember, between the 4th and 5th round on your stool, you needed the finish. You needed the finish. If I remember correctly, it was ages ago. And you got that beautiful rear naked choke, putting her to sleep. Now, what perseverance? Because you were behind. Holly was fighting a beautiful fight. She got out of some bad positions, you know? And so you needed that finish. You became the new champion by getting that finish. What was going on, if you remember, on that stool between the 4th and 5th round?
Sure, I do remember. So, at the time, you don't know what the judges score. You don't know exactly. But I always like to assume I'm behind, right? So I always want to go into that 5th round, especially as a contender, that I've got to finish it here and now. And I remember, as they took the stool away and as they were leaving and, all the information that they tried to give me in that 60 seconds. And I remember thinking, I think I've got to just risk getting knocked out at this point. I've got to risk it. If I eat a head kick on the way in, I do. If I eat a knee, if I eat a right hand, if she catches me on the way, if I have to chase her down Ronda style and I eat one, that's what this is coming down to. So all the other stuff, the head movement, and those things, it's great. Hasn't won me the fight yet. So I'm going to go back to the old Misha Tate. I'm going to put my head on the line. I'm going to risk everything. And if I get knocked out, then I get knocked out. But if I can finish this fight, I'm going to finish the fight. And that's kind of what I was thinking in a nutshell. I think it was a much shorter thought process than that. I was like, Misha, you might get knocked out, but you've got to finish this fight. So risk everything. And that's it. That's what I was thinking going into the 5th round.
Yeah, that's a very freeing feeling, though, knowing that there's either two things that are going to happen. I'm getting taken out, trying to get to her, or I'm getting to her and having my way. That's a great way to think. It's very simple, but that pretty much sums it up, and that's what we're vital. So that's amazing. Yeah. That's great.
And you're smart to look at the Marion Renault fight. 4 straight losses. Yeah. Someone's having a rough time, but that to me makes a fighter really dangerous, because there comes a point where a fighter feels like they have nothing to lose. Like you just said, and you're fighting someone who might look at it like my entire career is on the line. So you're fighting somebody who is feeling probably very desperate for a win. And I don't think that's an easy person at all.
Oh, absolutely. And Jim, I don't know if you knew this, but it's kind of interesting, right? I'm coming out of retirement and this is her retirement fight. So here's another thing is she has nothing left to save for. There is no future fight. She's going to give literally what does she have to lose? She's not going to lose opportunities. She wants to close her career on a victory. She wants to beat me because, I'm a little bit of an icon and somewhat of a name in this sport. I think it would be great for her to, if I'm her, I'm thinking I want to close my career with a win over Misha Tate. So she has nothing left to save for. She's going to bring literally everything that she has to this fight. And that's what I would do if I was in her position. So I'm under no, make no mistake. I'm not taking her lightly. And I believe she'll bring everything she has to that fight.
Yeah, it's very smart. Smart way to look at it. Because a lot of people come in where they have their eyes on something a little bit further. And they say, I'm not overlooking my opponent. But they really are overlooking the person they're supposed to be looking at. And how has that, you said it was a little hard to get Dana to believe that you wanted to come back. Do you think he didn't believe you, or he was like, ah, she's not, she can't make a comeback? Or what was it like getting him to finally go, okay, yeah, you're welcome back?
I was honestly surprised it took him so long to kind of really grasp that I wanted to fight. And I think what it was that I don't think he wanted me to come back because I was desperate. I don't think he wanted to see a washed up Misha Tate that is fighting to feed her family, and I'm going to come back and get my ass kicked and get hurt. I think that's not what he wanted. I think he wanted to know that I have fire and passion and desire, and that I'm going to come back and fight because I want to, not because I'm in a desperate place. So I think that's where at first he wasn't really, he was kind of brushing it off like, oh, you know, she's not, I don't know if he thought I wasn't serious, but I think he thought if she's serious, you know, she'll let it be known. And that's kind of what I did. I kind of had to hunt him down in the office and just sit down with him and be like, I want to fight. That's it. Like, I want to fight. I'm not hurting for money. I'm not desperate. Put in my 30-day notice with one championship. So,
Oh, is that what you were doing now? And you were still living where you are. I'm guessing in the States, right? You never left the States.
I was in Singapore for about a year and a half, and you then were. moved back in September of this year. And that's because I knew I wanted to fight again. So that was a big push for the move, was that I wanted to get back here and I wanted to get back to training. So all the gyms and facilities were still closed there. You know, things like that was a lot more strict in Singapore, which is it's a blessing and a curse. If you want to be a professional athlete, I think it's a lot really hard for the athletes that were trying to train there. Because even when things started to open up, it was like no contact. So I couldn't wrestle. No grappling, no things like that. So I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go back to the States and I got to get training.
How was Singapore? I've never been there. Did you like living there? Did you enjoy the interacting culturally? Was it much different than the US? I've never traveled there.
It was certainly different than the US. But what I will say about Singapore is similar to America in the sense that it's kind of a melting pot of cultures. So, and the first language is English. A lot of people assume that it's Chinese or Singaporean or something, but it's not actually, it's English. So everybody speaks English there. It makes the transition really easy. Very fast moving kind of country, great food. It was an experience. I'm glad to have the experience, but, even happier to be back home, having that experience behind me now and able to move forward to really do what I love and open the next chapter of the Misha Tate Chronicles and make that resurgence of a second part of my career.
Sounds like a series on Netflix, the Misha Tate Chronicles. Jimmy, let's edit that.
Oh man, I got some stories. I would say you guys could, yeah, we could do that. I could definitely probably do that. Entertain some people for sure. My life is crazy.
Hey, Misha, speaking of Netflix, are you watching anything, streaming anything with your husband that I can get into? I always like to get new shows, or maybe a book reading that Jimmy would like.
He would be the one to ask because he's always watching TV. I'm not a TV person, so I don't really watch. He tries to get me sometimes into shows. I liked, I don't know if this would be up your alley or whatever, but I really liked The Handmaid's Tale. That was like one of my favorites, but that's on Hulu. Ooh,
what is it?
What is that?
Okay. So it's because it's creepy in a way that I feel like it could really happen. It's very believable. It's kind of like this religious cult takes over a section of the US and like nobody can get in and out. And where women cannot get pregnant essentially. Like, what do they call that? Like where infertility is like taken over, like it's starting to take over like globally. So they've like captured these women who have had children, forced them into like birthing children for these high up religious cult people, and it's just crazy. It's a pretty wild story, but it's kind of like a little scary. It's like, what if that can really probably happen if we don't mind our P's and Q's? You know, you kind of envision it like that's not so far off that, you know, something crazy could happen like that. That's what I like. I like ones that are kind of believable. I also liked Dexter. So if you like Dexter or did you ever watch Dexter?
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend was obsessed with it. So I immediately didn't like it because she loved it so much. But yeah, the episodes I've seen, the acting was great.
What about the meth one? I watched that one too. What was that one called? Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one too. But again, it's been a while since I've gone into the TV thing. Now it's like I check my emails and my social media and I waste my time that way as opposed to Netflix.
Are you a book person? Do you read books or not really?
I listen to audiobooks. I love listening to audiobooks. That's my favorite. I don't really find the time to sit. I like to multitask.
Yeah.
So cleaning the house or baking or cooking or whatever, I like to have an audiobook going. That's when I usually, or I fall asleep to it too. I listen to podcasts.
Oh, shoot.
Do you like cooking? People say like, I can't cook for shit, but people say it's like really relaxing and it's kind of cathartic and it's calming. And every time I've tried it, I've wanted to throw something through a window. I just can't enjoy it.
I love it.
You do.
It's the best. I love cooking and I love baking too. There's something I don't like to cook for myself. I like to cook for people. So I don't, if I was a bachelorette, I guess if you wouldn't have had no one, I would probably like eat, you know, sandwiches and ramen or something like that all the time, you know, just like quick. But if I'm cooking for like my family, I really enjoy that. Like part of the process of enjoying cooking for me is like bringing joy to somebody else. Like they get to eat something that I made and it's like, they get to enjoy it. That's probably why you don't like it, Jim.
That's true. I have nobody to cook for, but I'm trying to eat healthier. And like you won't cook your own like healthy food or what you need, or how do you get the food you need cooked the way you want it to? Do you make it yourself or do you have someone that does it?
I always have somebody or somebody to cook for too. And my husband likes to eat well, like Johnny, he likes to eat healthy too. So it's easy, you know, if it's, you know, if I'm baking chicken and asparagus and salad or whatever, you know. But I'm just the kind of person, like I'm telling you, like I will prepare a meal for someone else. I won't prepare a meal for myself. Like I'm just like a grab and go. So if I am by myself, I'll cook 7 chicken breasts on Sunday and I'll eat them cold. Like I'll just grab them and eat my, you know, right out of the fridge. Like I don't prepare things for myself. I just the basics of what I need, I go. Whereas like for him, like I like to make, you know, I'll make the breakfast, then I'll make dinner and I like to, you know, and then I'll sit down and I'll enjoy that too. But it's just not enough for me to do it for myself. I'm too easy. I think I just want to grab and go.
Were you doing, you were acting at one point too, right? Did you do anything acting wise?
I never really followed up on that. I don't know if more will come from it. I did enjoy it. It was definitely a challenge. I did 2 and I think one of them never ended up getting the full funding to get entirely produced. But let me tell you, like acting is it's not easy. That's for sure. But if you really want to get into it, you have to be comfortable, just like in fighting, be comfortable being uncomfortable because people are going to be all around you watching from the peripherals, but you have to just get so into a moment, whether you're crying or whether you're angry or whatever, like you really have to just be in that moment and put everything else out of your mind and compartmentalize. And it's a lot harder than you would think because it's not a very intimate setting. It's like, there's usually a lot of people on set and things going on behind you, people staring at you, but you have to block it out and like focus on that. I wouldn't say I'm an actress by any means, but that's kind of what I took away from it.
But no, you're right. It is really, because it looks so easy. You watch people do it like, yeah, I could just be me. But that you forget like, oh yeah, there's a camera guy and there's a lighting guy and there's a bunch of people watching you. And there's a director going, all right, I'm quiet. And yeah. It's all riding on you. And then you, like, it's as so I'm doing weird. It, you fuck up. And you go, I'm sorry. It's so hard to stay in a moment.
I saw a clip of Michael Bisping on the show Warrior that I'm watching. I saw a clip of him and it was him being Michael Bisping. It was basically, you throw him in 1878. It was him same, you know, he has the accent already, you know, and he's fighting. Shoot. Basically him just being himself. But hey, man,
that's the way to go. If you're not a professional actor, you've got to like pick a role that's like close enough that you could kind of be yourself too. Because like acting, I think it takes years to really master to be able to play a role, you know, to be a Matthew McConaughey, you know, who can just, you know, do, you know, play so many different roles and be that kind of, you know, but that's their whole life, right? That they dedicate, that's what they do. For me, it's just kind of like something I enjoyed doing on the side. So I got to kind of stick a little close to home, like fighter roles or things like that.
Well, the worst is because like, a lot of actors will do some amazing stuff and they'll be like, yeah, it was a choice. I made this choice for the character. But then I would go in and try something and my choice, the director would go, what the fuck are you doing? And I'd be like, I don't know. That's the choice. He'll be like, stop, just do it the other way. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So it's amazing when you're shamed acting. It's really embarrassing.
I could see that. I feel like you have to just make it really big and then people will take you, like, just let you have more of the reins. But like, if you're not there, then they're just going to be like, no, you don't know what you're doing. You're not that good. Like, just shut up, like, mind your piece, like, stay in the box. Like, don't go outside the box. Like, you're not good enough for that.
Well, you're going to get to fight at least, I believe, in front of a full crowd, right? Location to be determined. It should be a crowd. You're not sure yet, but they're starting to come back to full crowd. Do you think that would have been odd to fight with nobody in the room the way they've been doing at the Apex and Fight Island?
Yeah, I think so. But I've envisioned myself doing it that way too. And I did coach on The Ultimate Fighter. So even though, like, I wasn't the competitor, right, you're right there with your fighter and you kind of get a sense of, like, just what it feels like. And, you know, now I've watched enough of the UFC events where there's no crowds, you know, and look, it's different, but I don't think so many things can be different come fight day. That's just like one small thing. Fighters are, I think, very well equipped at adjusting to things on the fly and not really, like, if you want to be elite, you just can't let the small things, you can't even let big things get in your way. Like, it doesn't matter. Fight day is fight day. So weird or not, I think you come to fight. That's it.
Has anything ever happened to you before a fight where you were like, all right, I can't focus on this, that you thought might be a problem or a distraction that you really had to consciously get yourself away from thinking about?
Yeah. Like, I would say, almost my entire career, to be honest, like in my personal life, having a significant other who was also like a head coach was just very, it was like very contradicting, and the, you know, the personal life and the, just all of that kind of like really getting in the way. I mean, there was some good things for sure, but there was a lot of detractors as well. And I think the longer it went on, the worse it got. So, I remember in my bout before Amanda, I was cutting weight and it was fight week. So there was the fights on Friday and then there was the fights on Saturday, which were my fights, right? So my ex went to, you know, can I go to the fights on Friday? Sure, go. So, you know, come back by this time because I'm going to be cutting weight. Doesn't show up on time, comes back, you know, intoxicated, brought people, you know, with him. Like these basketball guys, you know, and it's like, if you've ever, Matt, you know, like a cutting weight is a very intimate moment. It's not a moment where you're trying to be personable. It's not a moment where you're trying to be anything, but in that moment of focused on getting your weight down and fighting the next day, right? It's the fight before the fight. So if there's those kinds of things, there was just a lot of that, a lot of detractors that really felt like towards the end of my career got worse and worse and worse and worse. So not in that situation anymore. I'm in a really great place where I don't feel like, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm not going to have those kind of detractors. I'm not going to have things taking away from me in my personal life. I have the best support system I've ever had. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it, but yeah. I think the best way to explain it will be July 17th when I come back.
Yeah, Marion Renault, it's UFC Fight Night 192, and the location is to be determined. But Misha, it's so good to see you, and you know, you're such a big part of UFC history, and I'm so happy that you're back and we get to see you fight again. So good luck, and have a great fight, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bye, good Jim. Seeing you again. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Misha.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
That's great, man.
Oh, yeah, she's really she's awesome. She looks great too. Like, she looks ready to go. Like, And she sounds ready to go too. I forgot that she was her trainer was her partner. I forgot about that. Her head coach. Yeah. Totally forgot.
I'll tell you, man, you know, she seems hungry, you know, not like me, not a fatty hunger. I'm fatty. I'm hungry like a fatty.
No,
you better not be. I didn't want to say stuff in front of her, but you don't want to get typecasted as a little pervert.
No.
As far as your acting.
No, I wouldn't mind as an actor. I don't care. They could cast me as anything.
Okay.
It beats what they want to cast me at, which is nothing. That's what they want. Here's what they want to cast me as: a person not in the production. They like that role for me. I'll take any role they want to give me.
Did you hear about Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz?
Oh, did I? Yes.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Man, you know what I like about Nate Diaz, man? When he comes back, he's not. The last time we saw him was with Jorge Masvidal, a fight that he made happen. You know, so now he's coming back, Nate Diaz, after a lengthy break, and he's fighting Leon Edwards, who's just looking like a murderer, man. That guy looks like, you know, before the eye poke, he was looking very, very good versus Bilal Muhammad. And happy his eyes okay, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad.
Listen, that's a hell of a fight. And it's going down, and it's making history because it's the first time a non-title fight, it's a 5-round fight, all as the co-main event. Did you know that?
Oh, as the co-main event.
Make sure I'm not making that up.
As the co-main event.
That's what I heard, Jimmy.
Yes. And, yeah, that's correct.
Damn right. I'm sorry. We said that at the same time.
By the way, another Kevin Holland is saying that because Darren Till broke his collarbone, is out against Marvin Vettori. So now has that Kevin Holland fight been officially made or is he just lobbying for it? Kevin Holland's a fucking animal. If he wants to come back and fight right after that 5-round fight, man, you got to respect that. He really wants to get back in there as soon as possible.
It's not official yet. Okay. But it's exciting. But it's right there. There was a few things. I took a picture of it because I have a memory of a goldfish. Okay. So when there's exciting things.
You photographed them.
I did I have another picture that I sent my wife. Want to see it?
I do, yeah.
You sure? You want to see it?
Well.
I'll tell you what she writes back after I send this to her.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you before I send the show to you. You know what she writes back? Ass. Or that ass. Because I send her this.
That's a picture of you making a kissy face. My favorite part of this is the ring light. That's my favorite
part. How do I keep the ring light off? Oh, that's my family.
Yeah, that's a nice photo. But the you making the kissy face. I didn't care.
Yeah, Jimmy, I like to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
You know when like Misha Tate was saying that she's got the fire again. She's got fire in her. I don't see fire in you, Jimmy, but I see a little spark.
There's a little spark.
I see a little flicker. I'm like, oh, what is going on there? See a little flame that has to be
little, there? Yeah, a little, just a little. nothing major. So Kevin Holland, Marvin Vettori would be a great fucking fight, man. Ooh, would I like that? Dude,
this is why I went into my fucking phone. I didn't go in there. Yes, that would be a great fight. They got some history too. I want to see that. And we know, forget about this main event stuff. You booking it for 2 months. We know Kevin Holland's great when you get him right off the couch. You get him right. That's when he's fucking going to step up.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if these are official. All right. And maybe our people can talk about this and they can do some legwork. I'm hearing that Tony Ferguson is fighting Beneil Dariush. Is that on May 15th?
I've heard that too. Yeah.
That is official. That is official. Ferguson versus Dariush. Dariush don't like it. Anyway, listen, Jimmy X'd out of the screen.
Oh, sorry, it's a mistake.
Hermanson versus Shahbazyan.
Yes, great fight. His first fight since that's Shahbazyan's first fight, I think, since Derek Brunson, since the loss to Brunson.
Again, May 15th, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And now listen to this, Jimmy. This one came out. This one just hit me. I go, woo. I actually said that, ooh, like that.
Ooh.
Ooh. Not like that. That's what it was like, Jimmy. And it was like, do it again. I'm gonna say it, and then you do that. Like I'm reading it. Ready?
Yep.
Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza?
Is that how you did it?
Oh, no, sorry. Dude, that's not it at all. You acted afraid.
Oh, sorry. I'll do it again. I'll do it better. I apologize.
That's not the reaction I want.
Yeah, we'll cut that out.
On May 15th, Jimmy, Shane Burgos is fighting Edson Barboza. That's a little creepy. That was more like, ooh.
Not good.
Lovely man. What are you saying?
Okay, yeah, you're right. That was the wrong message.
Jimmy, yep. Breaking news, man. Shane Burgos on May 15th, he's fighting Edson Barboza.
I disappeared.
Oh, shit. I swear to God, I got to get checked out. Oh, Jimmy.
That's a good fight.
Let's go back. All right, that's the news. Oh, shit.
What do you think, Matt, too?
What, Jimmy?
I mean, look, the newly vacated lightweight title on the line, and this is May the 15th. Michael Chandler, Oliveira. Now, I know Chandler comes over. He's a very highly...
When is that? I'm sorry.
That is... I'm trying to see in my eye. It's 262, May the 15th, the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas.
Card. Talking about...
Tremendous fight. I'm happy Oliveira's getting it, too. He deserves the title shot. And then I think they might have offered something to Poirier. I'm going to guess they offered it to Poirier instead of Chandler. Or was it instead of Oliveira? It had to be instead of Chandler. They offered it to Poirier, and he's taking Connor's third fight. I don't blame him. For money, I would take the Connor fight, too. Because he can always get the title fight if he wins this fight.
I don't believe him at all. Why I'm laughing is I sometimes scroll through funny shit. And it was Sean O'Malley, Sugar Sean O'Malley's reply to Derek Brunson. Somebody quoted this. So Derek Brunson wrote before his fight, before Sean O'Malley's fight versus Thomas Almeida, you know, it's Derek Brunson wrote, "I'm betting the house on Thomas Almeida. Let's see if I'm homeless by the end of the night." Right? So Sean O'Malley writes in, "I got an extra room at my crib." I don't know. I guess it's funny when I first
funny. That is funny. Now, by the way, Matt, I'm sure this is a dumb question. Poirier Connor will be a main event.
I wish I could X out of this. I don't even know how to do it.
It has to be a main event. Right, yeah.
I would have X out because you're being silly.
Well, you never know. I mean, could it be
Connor McGregor, biggest star ever. Let's put him on the maybe he's a prelim, Jimmy.
No.
I want to apologize for that.
You're not wrong, but it could be the only thing it could be a co-main for.
Stop asking silly questions.
Here's the only fight it could be a co-main for.
No one, because he's not going to do it.
He won't do it. Yes,
Khan is doing that. He's going to show up on his yacht again and go, "Okay, wait, what am I? Third fight in? No."
I was only speculating.
All right, Jimmy.
What it could be a co-main event of?
What?
Which is going to be a bigger fight than Poirier Connor 3 would be Ngannou Jones if that happens. But you're right. It probably is a main event. It was just, I just thought of it, so I said it. Now, John Jones is saying, just cut me already. He wants more money. It's a negotiating tactic. John's a smart guy. He's not going to get a fight with anyone that's a bigger fight than this. This is a huge, huge fight. And by the time Jones fights him, here's the advantage. What? They will be in probably a bigger octagon than Stipe had, which does help. And Jones has that amazing oblique kick and that amazing work to the legs, which I think he may, I'm guessing he'll use that to try to keep Ngannou at bay a little bit. I don't know if Ngannou has had his leg kicked like that.
Why not just fucking go out there, do a flying kick, end up on bottom and get him in a triangle? You never know.
That's also possible.
John Jones has underrated jiu-jitsu ability.
Yes, he does.
And so, you know, I could see him getting into some kind of, just because other guys have not taken down,
yeah, Frank,
doesn't mean John Jones cannot take him down.
That's
John
true.
Jones DC down. DC's, you know what I mean? John Jones has that long, lanky frame that he could possibly just keep him at range and then get one clinch. No matter where it lands, he might be able to latch onto something and break it.
So, maybe, sure.
Hey, man, sure. That's what we watch. I will, dude, I'll tell you right now, that fight I'm sure is going to happen. It's too big not to.
It's crazy, but it was so funny that Jones had said a long time ago when he came in, you know, I don't want the biggest guy when I come in. And then there was rumors of him wanting Brock. And now he's got, if he wants Ngannou, And it's amazing for Ngannou's first title defense against a guy like Jones. But Ngannou was really improved, man. He looked so – the fact that he exhibited the patience and he was very aware of his gas tank and he was not going to fall for the same thing twice and he beautifully splayed back and stuffed that takedown. Really, really impressive fight by Francis. So, yeah. I would give him an edge almost over anybody. I think going up in weight from light heavyweight to heavyweight is a big jump, man. That's a very, very big jump.
Jimmy, I want the kids out there to listen to on YouTube or wherever they find it.
What did I say?
No, not you, Jimmy. Oh. Listen to Jim and Sam and the Roberts in the morning.
I hope so.
Yeah. Serious. But listen to Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
Why?
Jesus freaks. And streams. Listen, I just like it. And
that's
I like
the way song.
It builds up.
Yeah.
Builds up and it builds up.
It does.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
It is a nice song. You're not wrong.
Highway. Don't you exit out of this motherfucker.
Why would I? I'm enjoying the song.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you so much. To Brantley Gilbert, who I would love to talk to again.
Nice guy.
And Misha Tate, who is fighting Marion Renault July the 17th, UFC Fight Night 192, location to be determined. The return of the great Misha Tate. Very, very happy that she's coming back.
Man,
and
me too.
No fights this week, Matt. So we will you could just chit chat about other things over the weekend.
You know what I think I'm going to watch? Maybe that new King Kong versus Godzilla.
Godzilla. There we go.
What the heck? You know?
I agree.
I try to get them into like the classics. So yeah. I tried to get them into Young Sherlock Holmes. It was a movie by Steven Spielberg. They weren't into it.
I don't blame them.
I got them into The Last Dragon, which was phenomenal, which I really
sure.
watch. You know, we loved Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
You did.
Not the Josh Whedon fucking mishmash.
Yeah, of course.
I want to know about Cyborg's backstory. I want to know about Flash when he's going for that job at the pet store. And next thing you know, he goes out and saves a girl and makes a little eye contact. And they get a little romance thing, maybe possibly in the future. Who knows? But he saves her and then he goes back. And anyway, listen, Jimmy, I will talk to you before next week. It will happen.
Yes, we will.
All right, buddy. Bye. So I'll FaceTime you later. Everybody else, thank you. Listen. I can't get back to everyone, but I do get messages about people, and I try to, by the way, about people loving this show. And I just want to say, fuck yeah, I appreciate it. God knows I can't, I'm not doing anything else to make a living besides teach them arm locks. So thank you, people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Unfiltered Army. All right.
See you guys.
Jimmy, I know you got to go, but myself and Bucko, Kimura Bucko, he's my one of my partners on there on the on the Pop One. We will murk in some fools. And if you want to join us, we could squad up. It's squads of three. If you want to do that on the obvious later.
Sure. Like, absolutely.
I did not have to prolong the show to say that, but
I'm happy you did.
Okay, Jimmy. You know I love you. Everybody,
love you, pal.
Thank you so much.
We'll goodbye.
A bit of goodbyes, Jimmy.
Goodbye, me too.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.